I mean, I like the Panthers too. So you know, but the bottom line, you know, what we need is the Word. And we need Jesus and His life, and we have that, and so we're just gonna get in His Word, right?
That's right.
Amen. All right. So I have a little funny for you. Is that okay? So one Sunday morning, the pastor noticed little Alex standing in the foyer, staring up at the large plaque. It was covered with names and small American flags mounted on either side of the name. The six-year-old had been staring at the plaque for some time, so the pastor walked up, stood beside the little boy, and said, "Good morning, Alex." Good morning, Pastor," he replied, still focusing on the plaque. "Pastor, what is this?" The pastor said, "Well, son, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service." Soberly, they just stared together, looking at the large plaque. Finally, little Alex's voice, barely audible, trembling with fear, said, "Pastor, which service, 8:30 or that 10:45? Because I sure want to stay away from that one." Praise God. All right. So we, hallelujah. So I'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Say that with me. "God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind." And so I want to talk to you again tonight about overcoming the spirit of fear. People deal with this all the time. I mean, in fact, I confess to you, I deal with it from time to time. And fear is one of the most paralyzing, limiting things that we deal with, and we've got to recognize it when it comes. So we know how to deal with it effectively. In fact, when he comes, what are the three things that he comes to do?
Steal,
kill, and destroy. And I've shared this with you before, but this will help you. When the enemy comes, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But when he comes, here's his MO. These are the things he comes with. He comes with fear, doubt, discouragement, confusion, and condemnation. Everybody say fear, doubt, discouragement, confusion, and condemnation. Okay, any time that you're dealing with fear, doubt, discouragement, confusion, or condemnation, any of those five things, I can prove to you, I'm not going to take the time tonight, but each of those five things, they're never from God, not every one time. Is that true? Okay, so it's the enemy. Fear, doubt, discouragement, confusion, and condemnation, that's always the enemy. So if you know it's the enemy, and you know it's the enemy because you were at peace and now you're in fear. Okay, you were encouraged and now you're discouraged. You were at peace but now you're in confusion and so on. And so when he comes, what's he coming to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, so if a thief is coming, if a thief came to your house tonight while we're in service and tried to steal from you, could he steal $100,000 cash from you? How come? Well, you don't have it there, right? I hope none of you lift your hand anyway, and then somebody excuse themselves. But okay, no, he can't come and steal because you don't have it. A thief is not going to take the risk to break in and get caught unless it's worth the risk. In other words, he's already scoped it out. He knows you've got something in order for him to break in. Is that right? So look, here's the thing. When the enemy comes, he comes with one of those five things. It's proof that the fact that he's come and he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, the fact that he's come is proof that you've got it. Yeah? You've got it. Look at your neighbor, say, "I've got it." And so one of his primary MOs is fear. And a lot of times it comes in a lot of different ways. It's, you know, when you're asked to do something that you don't have experience in, you know, when something happens and you're afraid you're going to lose something, all kinds of things. I'm believing God I'm going to get my notes back in the American Airlines airplane. But you know, if you did lose something and you fear you're not going to get it back, all kinds of things, you know, can come about your children and parents. How many parents are here, grandparents and parents? Okay, you cannot help your children by worrying over them. Worry never helped anything or anyone. And making decisions out of fear because you're worried something might happen, it's going to be a bad decision because you're yielding to the enemy. And God hasn't called us to fear. He's called us to overcome fear. Actually, the opposite of fear is not faith, it's love. Of course, faith works by love. And so we talked about this morning that, you know, one of the greatest limiting factors in our lives is what we fear the most. And there's all kinds of fear of tragedy, fear of loss of a loved one, fear of lack, fear of being alone, fear of failure, fear of rejection, all kinds of things like that. But the 10 spies feared the giants and they didn't go in. And I can tell you right now, I mean, I know that there's someone still in here tonight that was here this morning, and you're still locked in this fear. You're afraid to step out because of what might happen if you step out. And all the time, you know God's dealing with you to step out, but you're not willing to do it because you're afraid of what somebody's going to say or what the results are going to be, or somebody's going to be upset at you or mad at you or whatever. Listen, guys, we need to act on what God says. If we're going to accomplish what He's asked us to do, we've got to step out and do what He told us to do. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Now, years ago, I think it was maybe 2005, and the Lord just put it so strong in my heart, I was supposed to get my master's degree. And I'd already graduated Bible college, and so I was like, why do I need a master's degree? And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that so that I didn't, you know, I didn't want to want it because I didn't want other people to, I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to impress someone else that I was better than them because I was a better pastor because I've got a master's degree. So now I'm the master pastor. And but I didn't have the money. I mean, I knew God was telling, He put this strong desire in my heart to get my master's degree. And you know, there, I was not wanting to do it for a lot of reasons, but I had this want to. I knew God put it in my heart, and it was about, I don't know, it was over $20,000 and a lot of time and everything. And it was like, but I kept fighting with this, but finally, the bottom line, if God's telling you to do something, you might as well just step out and do it and not try to figure it out. And so finally just yielded to it, and I went, and it was really one of the best experiences I've ever had, and I got my master's degree, and so now I'm the director of Karis Bible College, and in order to be accredited with some other Christian universities or associate, they had to have somebody's master's degree to go through.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Amen. And so look, you don't know, guys, what your obedience today, how it will impact tomorrow. You don't know. And we don't need to argue with these things. We just need to step out and act against our fears and just do what God has spoken to you to do. Someone in here, God's speaking to go to Bible college here at Calvary Cathedral International Bible College. And you just need to step out and do it and yield to it. And the money will be there. He's going to provide for you and all the other things that you need. And so the 10 spies, they feared the giants. They didn't go in. Gideon feared the Midianites. Saul feared Goliath and the people. And, you know, on and on. And so we've got to learn to deal with fear in our lives and overcome that. And that's tonight. I want to kind of unpack this a little bit more, just giving you some keys that will help you overcome the spirit of fear. So you might want to write these down, five keys that will help you overcome the spirit of fear. And for number one, we talked about this morning, know that the Lord is with you. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Right? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I'm your God, I'll strengthen you, I'll help you, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. In fact, that's one of those scriptures that God gave pastor in starting the church in 1964, among some others. Yea, though, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. You're with me. Say he's with me. So his presence with me is greater than all my enemies. And I'm not going to go over all that I shared this morning, but the power of the cross and the power of Jesus to heal is greater than the power of the enemy to afflict with pain and sickness and disease. It's greater. The power of Jehovah Jireh to provide is greater than the power of the enemy to steal. The power of Jehovah Shalom, which the Lord our peace, is greater than the enemy's power to oppress us or afflict us or anything like that, right? Yes. So we have to think about this. Look, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the devil. But God is greater. Is he greater? And when you understand that, not only is he with you, but understanding he's with you, but he's greater. He's greater. Yeah? And when you stop and think about that, it gives you peace instead of fear. God is greater. I'm not saying you're not going through things. I'm not saying you're not dealing with things. I'm just saying I'm not, even though I'm dealing with things and facing things, God is greater than that. You may not know the answer, but he does. And if you get your eyes on him, you know, the greater one in you is going to give you the answers. You know, it's 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat was seeking the Lord. They didn't know what to do. They had this insurmountable enemy in the natural. But how many of you know greater is he that's with us and he that's in the world? And so if we'll seek God, and Jehoshaphat said, Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't have any might against this great army, nor do we know what to do. Yet our eyes are upon you. And so we need to get our eyes on the one who is our Father we're in relationship with. And you just have to know that the Lord is with you. If you're in your fraidy hole and all in trembling and, you know, all this stuff, you're freaked out. Okay, somebody here freaks out just at any little drop of the hat. If you're freaking out all the time, you're not looking to God. You don't know that he's with you. He's with you. Okay, everybody look up here. He's with you. So chill out. Just take a big chill pill. He's with you. And he that's with you is greater. He's greater. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. He's greater. Then number two, you need to understand that you're loved. Understand you're loved. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Somebody says perfect fear casts out love too. Well, perfect love is great. Love is greater than fear. Light is greater than darkness. Is that true? Light is greater than darkness. Love is greater than fear. All you got to do is turn on the light. Amen? And darkness goes. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. When you understand you're loved by God, you begin to rest in love so much that it dispels all fear of evil. Really, when you get a revelation of the fact that God loves you and cares about you, and he's not going to leave you alone, he hasn't left you alone, and you're not going to have to deal with this by yourself, listen, it'll dispel all fear. When you understand that you're loved. Yeah? First Timothy 5, verse 8, I'm not going to go into the whole story. I think I've probably shared this with you before, but my wife and I were in a time of lack, and we needed money, and I was believing God, and I was worrying and everything, and I had this lady came to the church we were attending, and we were between ministry assignments at the time. And I was in a consulting business, and it was kind of feast or famine, and the pastor had this lady preacher I'd never heard before, and she said, "I've got a word for somebody here before I start to preach," and it's 1 Timothy 5:8. And I was in the middle right now of not being able to pay my bills. You know, I was working, but it was commission, so you know, it was feast or famine. You know, if you've been in real estate, you know what I'm talking about. Things like, if you've been in sales, and you know what I mean by that. And so I was believing God and praying, but now I'm sweating it, you know, because I've got all this money due, and I'm 2.5 weeks overdue. And anyway, she said, "I've got a word before I preach this message. I've got a word for someone from the Word," and it was 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, "If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever." And I that wasn't really encouraging when I wasn't able to meet my needs right then, Lori. That just didn't bless me. And so I'm feeling a little worse and condemned now. But no, she said, no, wait a minute, stop. That's not the word. Here's the word. God sent me today to tell you He lives by this verse too. And God is your Father. You are His own. He's not an infidel, and He will take care of you. Say, "God is my Father. I am His own. He's not an infidel. He will take care of me. God is my Father. I am His own. He is not an infidel. He will take care of me." Amen. Listen, God, I mean, I couldn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything else she said that day, Jay. And I went home, and I just told Janice, I mean, feed the kids with whatever we have left. And I'm just going in the room to get this settled. But really what I had to get settled was I had left the revelation of God's love and care for me. And I was trying to do it on my own. I was trying to, you know, strain and everything else. No, God loves me. And if He loves me, He cares for me. He's my Father. I'm doing my part. I'm working. I'm not sitting on my blessed assurance. Okay, I'm doing my part. But I was still in the natural. I was still in lack. And the other thing is, guys, many times what happens is when you are believing God and you get a revelation of God's love for you, when what comes in looks like it's not enough, sometimes we're cursing it instead of blessing it. And that's not what Jesus did when the 5 loaves and 2 fish that didn't look like enough, was it? He didn't curse it, did He? And so He gave thanks for it. And so, but I just want you to know, and God sent me here to tell you the same thing, that He's your Father, and you're His own. And He's not an infidel. He's not. And He will take care of you. He really does have it wired. And if we're gonna deal with fear, we've got to let God give us a revelation and understanding of His great love and care for us. And He's your Father. This is not some kind of, you know, Hare Krishna, Buddhist, something else religion. This is God. God is your Father, and He really loves and cares about you. He knows where you're at. He knows your address, and He knows how to get the money to you. You just need to chill out. He loves you. Does He love you? Okay, you need to ask God to give you a revelation. He lives by this verse too. And you get a revelation of that, I'm telling you guys, your days of lack are over. When you understand that He loves you, you don't need to fear that. You don't need to fear lack or anything else. So, number two, just understand your love. Then, number three, receive His word about your situation. Receive His word about your situation. You need to know that God's with you. You need to just understand that He loves you, and then receive His word about your situation. Proverbs 1:33. "But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Whoever listens to me, and implying my word to you, whoever listens to me and what I tell you will dwell safely and be secure without the fear of evil. Yes? That's powerful. Then Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, I'm just going to pick up in the middle of verse 5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say. Everybody say this with me. He himself has said that we may boldly say. He has said, so we may boldly say. I'm boldly saying what he has said. Okay, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So when you get a revelation of his word, you know, whenever I'm facing something that I'm tempted to be fearful about, I'm going to get in his word. I'm going to get a word from the word. Okay, I'm going to spend time with him until something from his word comes alive. My son Michael, who is now Andrew Womack's daily television producer, he works for Stephen. Stephen oversees the television department, but Michael produces the daily program. When Michael was 15 months old, he had a muscular arthritic condition. The doctor said it would degenerate and he would never walk again. And if it kept going, he wouldn't live past 10 years old. Well, he's 38 now and given us three children, and now he's helping to produce this program that goes all over the world. But I heard all these testimonies of other men and women of God who'd fought battles of sickness and disease and other things, and had all these testimonies, but this was our baby. You know, I'd heard Brother Osteen talk about his daughter, and you know, Brother Copeland and all Brother Hagin, I've heard, but God, this is my baby. And so I need a word from you about my baby that's real to me. Okay? I mean, I can't get Michael healed on somebody else's revelation. And so, Lord, I'm not begging you. I'm just saying I'm positioning myself. And we wrote down, we found 70 scriptures on healing, on authority of the believer, and on the integrity of God's word. We wrote down 70 scriptures, and we would quote them every day. After about 2 months, one scripture that didn't even seem like a healing scripture, one scripture, Psalm 119, 89, 90, leapt off of the page into our hearts. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness is unto Michael's generation. We put Michael's name in there. And that Michael got healed on that verse. I said he got healed on that verse. Look, guys, you need a word from the word about your situation. It will dispel fear. You get a word from God that you can stand on, you can fight the enemy with. A lot of people come to me and asking me and my wife for prayer for things. I mean, I speak at the healing school at Cares Bible College, and it's every Thursday at 2 o'clock, which would be 3 o'clock, or I think it's 1 o'clock. Yeah, 1 o'clock, and then it's 2 o'clock here. But the thing is, I mean, people come all the time for prayer, but what we will ask them typically, what scriptures are you standing on? And it's amazing how many people don't even have a word from the word about their situation. I know when Pastor asked Charlie he was sharing this at the school, which, by the way, Charlie and Lori came and shared at the Bible college, and it was just awesome. The students just loved it, and they were praying and seeking God, and it was powerful. But Charlie shared about when Pastor asked him to take this position, and he went off and prayed, and he got a word from the Word. What was it? First Chronicles something, 28:20, and it was about, you know, do something about doing the work, and yeah, you know, and so he got a word from the Word. See, guys, what we need a firsthand revelation from God. And if you've got a situation that you're fearful about, it could be an employer-employee situation. It could be a relationship. It could be you've got a bad doctor's report or whatever. Listen, this report trumps every other report. But it doesn't work just sitting in your lap. The word that works is what's in your heart and in your mouth. Oh, the word that works, that's going to dispel fear, is what is in your heart and in your mouth. And if it's not in your heart and in your mouth, if it's just in your lap or in your iPad or whatever, it's not going to, you're not going to, there's no demon, he's not afraid of your iPad or the Bible in your lap. He fears and trembles the Bible that's in your heart and on your lips. That's what he's afraid of. And so we've got to spend time with God, you know, and seek God. And Lord, look, I'm just positioning myself to you to make this real to me. I mean, my son, Michael, got healed because we went to Brother Copeland's first Anaheim convention. It wasn't even it was just him. He was just had his first Anaheim meeting in 1978. And I found out that Andrew was out there too at the same time. We didn't even know till later. Some other people were out there. But, you know, it was just, here was somebody just believed, they just believed God's word. And they just, God, they took time to get the word and put it in their heart. And I said, Lord, you know, you've got to make this real to me. Yeah? And this is the way we live. It's the way this church here was built. This is you get a man of God called of God that gets a word of God. And then acts on it. And whatever your situation is, there's not any, look, if it doesn't matter if it's about your marriage and your spouse or relationships or finances or whatever it is, what we need to get before God and spend time ourselves, you know, and get in the word and get a word from the word, and it'll dispel all fear. Yeah? You need a word from the word. Look at your neighbor, say he's talking to you right now. Praise the Lord. All right. Then number four, we've got the airport in sight. This is good. This is good stuff, isn't it? It's real simple. I mean, look, you can take these 5 points and you can just, you teachers, you can teach this. This is like a 5-part message. Because I'm hitting the highlights here. But number four is trust God. Everybody say trust God. And I'm going to give you kind of a picture of all this here in a minute of how I see this working. But Psalm 56:3 says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Now, that's really powerful. How many of you have ever been afraid and you're not afraid to admit you've ever been afraid? Okay. I mean, I know Andrew, he hadn't been discouraged and depressed in 46 years, but I have. Sue knows Andrew, and he knows that, she knows that's not true. when I'm afraid, I trust in you. So what's our default? When fear hits us, I'm turning to trust and dependence. Okay? I'm leaning into his grace. There's things that God's going to be asking of you, you know, that you don't feel qualified for. And initially, when you're asked to do that, you know, let's say Pastor or Charlie or Dan or someone here asks you to give a testimony, you know, that's not me. I mean, I'm the background person. I'm not the, but you know, what happens is then we back up, or Johnny asks one of you to sing or do something. You've got a great voice, and I mean, it's like my little. We found out over Christmas I could play this little. This little video for you, but I found out our little now 10-year-old grandson sings like an angel. I said, Jonah, where have you been all of our lives? I mean, this boy is, I mean, he's got this high range, and I mean, it's amazing. But his mom said he won't sing. She had to bribe him to sing for us. But too many times what happens is, guys, we're focused on ourselves. Okay, and we're not leaning into him and trusting him, and we're letting fear hedge us in. And what I want to encourage us to do is let's break out on the right or the left and break out of all these limiting things that hinder us and stop us and keep us from inheriting what God has for us, and more importantly, ministry to others. There's ministry to others that's waiting on the other end of your obedience and you stepping out. But you know, we back off. I can't do that. I mean, I'm not. What are people going to think? And you know, I'm going to look bad and all that. Well, who cares? Who gives a rip? Amen. We need to step out, and the only way I know how to do it is to trust God. And the way I look at it is I'm just leaning into Him. I'm leaning into His grace. I knew how to pastor, but I didn't know how to dean. And I was the dean of education. So I was leaning into deaning grace for a while. And then they asked me to direct the Bible college. Now I'm big time leaning. I've never directed a Bible college. I don't know how to do that, but I'm leaning into His grace right now. So you could back off, or you can just trust. Okay, there's always things that we feel inadequate about. I didn't feel adequate. I've never felt adequate to do anything God asked me to do. But what happens is I'm not backing off. I am not backing off from what God is given to me because of fear. I'm just going to lean into His grace. Now, it may not be according to what everybody else wants, but all I can do is lean into His grace. When they called me to pastor in Decatur, Texas, they asked me how to do it. I said, the only way I know how do you look at pastoring? I said, well, you know, I know three things. I'm going to feed the sheep, I'm going to love the sheep, and I'm going to lead the sheep. And then I'm going to pastor supernaturally. And that means you have 300 people. I don't know how to take care of them except just to listen to God and depend on Him and listen to Him. I don't know how to do this except just to lean into Him. I don't know how to love my wife. I've read all the marriage books, and I don't know how to love her. I found out some other things this weekend about that she likes, and I found out she liked some kind of apple butter. I didn't know she liked apple butter. So I'm going to find some. And, I don't know how to do these things that God's called me to do except to lean into His grace and to trust Him. Now, here's how you can tell if you're not trusting Him. He, in Isaiah 26:3, let's look at it again. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you because he trusts in you. When you leave peace, you stop trusting. When you're not in peace internally, I don't get condemned about it. I just know, Paul, that all of us, this is a barometer. This is an antenna that tells me somewhere I left trust. And when I leave trust, I left grace. You know, when grace and peace, they always go together. You read it in the New Testament. Grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. When peace goes out the door, you better follow it. Because that's where you're not trusting and you're not depending, you're not living in grace. You're living in your own strength. And so, listen, and when I'm at peace, I'm not in fear. If I'm trusting, I'm not fearing. Are you hearing me? I'm looking to God. So then finally, we have landed and we're pulling up to the terminal and all is well. Amen? Finally, number five, you must act against your fear. You're going to have to act again. You can't just pray about this stuff. You've got to act against it. In Judges 6:27, God had told Gideon, I want you to tear down the altar, that graven image and idol, but Gideon took 10 men from his servants and did as the Lord said to him. And it's interesting, did he say that he did as the Lord said to him? He did. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. So in the middle of fear, he obeyed. You can tell. I mean, it's really kind of a paradox here that he knocked down the image and the idol and all that. But um, but But he did it at night because he was in fear. Look, sometimes, guys, you just have to deal with fear while you're in fear. Sometimes you just have to, I'm just, you know, I mean, I used to have a fear of heights. I'm still not real thrilled about stepping out on something, you know, and looking down. I just decided one day I'm going to get up on this big roof, and I've had to do some things, and I'm going to fight this thing. It's not going to beat me. I've got cold sweats going up that ladder. You understand? I'm way up on that thing, and if that ladder falls, I mean, I'm dead meat. But sometimes you have to face your fear. John Osteen used to have a terrible fear of flying, and he would work all of his things so he could go on the train, and all of his trips to go on the train, and because he got two or three prophecies that say he's going to die in a plane crash. And he never did die in a plane crash. I mean, wonderful prophecies, right? But finally, he said, you know what? I am not going to be led by this fear. But finally, he had to get on that plane. And he said, man, I helped that plane up, you know. I mean, he was sweating. His seat was wet, but he, maybe something else. But he got... but the bottom line is he flew, and then he did it again. The next time, you know, but this time it wasn't quite so much, and it took him about three or four times, I think, before that fear wasn't ruling him. But you've got to act against your fear. I said you've got to act against your fear. You can't just sit back and pray about this and trust God without acting. I mean, Gideon. I mean, did he do what God asked him to do? Yeah, he did it at night, but at least he did it. And he did it while he was fearing. He acted against his fear while he was fearing. And guys, this is not a game. If you're going to overcome the spirit of fear, you're going to have to hit that bully head on. When David went out against Goliath, how many of you know that Goliath was a tough dude? And he still ran out there. It wasn't that David wasn't fearing at all. The thing is, I'm sure David had the same fear that Saul and all the army did. And Saul and his guys were in their Freddy holes. They're back there, you know, shaking and trembling. But David came out in the name of the Lord against Goliath, and he took five smooth stones with him. I don't believe at all it was for his four brothers. I believe it was in case he missed. He had insurance, man. He had some backups. Amen? And he took action. I said he took action. And John Osteen took action against his fear of flying. Now you got to overcome your greatest fear. You've got to overcome it if you're going to fulfill God's purpose for your life. And you might as well identify whatever that is. You know, we've called people forward this morning to break that thing. But I'm telling you, you're still going to have to face it. And you might as well just hit it head. You might as well just hit it head on. There's some of you don't want to talk to somebody. Some of you don't want to. You're afraid to go tell your parents what's in your heart about what you want to do because they want you to be something else, and you want to do something different. I mean, you're afraid to go to an employer. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is. But God's got a powerful purpose for your life. He's got an inheritance for you. All these wonderful things that we hear about. I mean, we hear all these great ministries talk about your potential and your purpose and where you're going and what God has for you. But guys, if we're not willing to face the giant of fear, you're not going anywhere. You're not even taking off. You're not going anywhere. And I'm not prophesying that. I'm just telling you, you're deceived. We've got to know that God's with us. And we need to know that God loves us. And we need to get a word from the Word on our situation, and we need to trust God. But then you're going to have to step out. And if you don't step out, you're not going to accomplish anything. And I believe in prayer, but when you get out, when you finish that time of prayer, and you've taken authority over that spirit of whatever it is, you've got to step again. You've got to step out against it. You've got to stop wimping out. You've got to take your toddler pants off. Take your thumb out of your mouth. Put your big boy, big girl pants on. Yeah? And you've got to act against this fear. You're not going to accomplish anything sitting at home with your thumb in your mouth. And sending in, calling the power tower and asking them to pray for you. I mean, it's all right. It's not wrong to have people pray for you. But prayer alone doesn't substitute for you facing that thing that you're afraid of. Amen? Prayer alone. I didn't say prayer, not prayer at all, did I? No, I didn't say not prayer at all. I just said prayer alone is not going to take the place of you taking your place and you facing that thing that you've been running from, you've been hiding from, because you're concerned about what people are going to think, what's going to happen, what if you fail. Well, I'm telling you, you are failing. You're failing right now. Because you're not trusting, and you get a word from God, and you understand that you're loved, and you know that God's with you, and you face that thing. And I'm telling you guys, you're gonna go to the next level of what you've been hearing about for so long, and that's what God has for you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank Him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for your love for us. You are with us. Say that, God, you're with me. God, you love me. I thank you for the power of your word. I trust you, and I'm going to step out on what you've told me to do. In Jesus' name.